Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi,
this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margot.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast. Hello, everybody. It's smack dab in the middle of running season, so it just makes sense today that we're going to be talking to the editor-in-chief for Women's Running Magazine, Jessie Seabor. And this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margot. And on the line today, we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hola.
So I am deferring to you both. First, I want to do some little bit of housekeeping. If you like what you hear for the show, please go to wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever, and please leave a few stars in a review if you love the show. And we actually, guys, we got our first 5-star ratings.
Woo!
So here they are. So the first one's from Wugrad. I mean, we have some great names. But I'm a longtime fan of all web things Fit Bottomed. They are doing a great job stepping into a new medium. Great content and fun banter make for a great listen. Best of luck with your new endeavor, FBG.
Aww.
Thank you.
Aww.
And then the second one was from, it's by a food sci PhD student. Really like the format. Start with a rundown of current topics because several SBGs with several... between several FBGs, excuse me, then an interview. Enjoy listening to FBGs. Looking forward to hearing more. So thank you, a food sci PhD student. I'm sure you're brilliant. So, yeah, there you go. So but if you have, leave a 5-star review, please let us know, and we will read it on the show. So this is awesome. And so today's, like I said, our show is with Jessie Seabor. She's the editor-in-chief of Women's Running Magazine. We were all very jealous because she somehow got a great media job in San Diego.
Yeah.
Perfect. How did that happen?
Lucky.
So, very lucky. She's really sweet, and she gave some great information. So I am going to be honest with you guys. I never run, ever, ever, ever. I tell people, if you see me running, I'm being chased. Intervene. Something's going on. So you two, I'm the cyclist, but you two are my runners. Tell me about your favorite races, why you love running so much, and what have been some of your favorite races?
Oh my gosh, I love running, and I feel like part of the reason why I love running is because when I was a kid, I didn't love running. Like, mm-hmm. I remember when you had to run the mile in gym class.
Run as punishment?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I hated all of that. And I remember, I mean, I was like, I had good grades. I was salutatorian at my high school. And I remember, almost getting a C or something. Like, they greeted us for the time it took us to do the mile.
And I had, was that the President Fitness
yeah.
thing that you had to do? Yeah,
yeah.
I remember those.
And
yeah,
they're
very debilitating.
Yeah, and I had to, like, go back and, like, convince the teacher. She let me do it. Again, like, I trained, and then I came back and I did it. But I just, as a kid, had this really negative association with running. I just dreaded that, and it made me feel really terrible about myself. So in college, I was always just like, well, I can't run. Can't run. It's not my thing. And then when I was in college, I started kind of getting on the treadmill and doing that for cardio, and I started running a little bit farther and a little bit farther and a little bit farther, and then I just kind of got addicted to being able to do more and kind of breaking through that idea I had of myself. So
mm-hmm.
At one point, I remember the first time I ran 4 miles, I was on this beautiful trail, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then, and not just because it made me feel good about myself, but, you know, I also felt good in my body, and it was a way for me to think creatively. It was kind of meditative, and it just got me outside. I mean, which just being in nature was just a beautiful, nice thing. Like, and for me, there's nothing better than going out for a good run when you've got good weather and you're around, you know, pretty surroundings in a park or something. It's just awesome. You know, besides endorphins, the runner's high is the best thing in the world. But that's why I love running, and that, I've run short distances in my life and long distances in my life. I've ran a couple half marathons, a number of 5Ks, a couple 10Ks, one full marathon, which I got injured during.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you did.
I did. And I did the Disney Marathon with my best friend, Tish. And I mean, it was kind of terrible. Like, it was the best race of my life, but also the worst race of my life, but more best than worst. I basically, like, injured during the tapering of my training, my butt, like, my glute went kaput. It, like, shut off. It, like, stopped working. And so,
while you were running?
Yeah, you broke your ass.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I broke my ass. Like, the Fit Bottom girl's bottom wasn't functioning properly. The irony is just on top of irony. But so it resulted in a lot of hip pain, and when I ran the marathon, starting at mile 6, I had pain. So I ran through 20 miles. Well, 22. One run.
24.
Wow.
But it was pure pain. It was terrible. I'm still glad I did it. And I am forever grateful that Tish was beside me, because if it wasn't for her, I would have been, like, on the side, like, bawling. But she was just like, just one step at a time. Just keep at it. And I remember her telling me, just focus on something that doesn't hurt. Just focus on something that doesn't hurt. And so we'd be sitting there and we'd be like, okay, like, what possibly? Because if you run a marathon, it kind of hurts, you know, unless you're one of these amazing people that run it, like, all the time. But she was like, yeah, she's like, you know, my elbow doesn't hurt. And so we'd be like, okay, let's focus on the elbows. Our elbows feel great. And that's how we stayed positive. So, and I was overcome with a sense of just huge accomplishment and emotion when I, you know, crossed the finish line. And I am so proud of it. And it was cool to share that experience with her. So that's probably my best race. Well, my worst race, but that was my most favorite race, I guess. And then I know I ran a race with Kristen and Aaron and Antish in Brooklyn a few years ago, and that was a 10K, and it was a rock and roll, and that was just really cool for all of us to do together.
Oh, you know, and you guys are like a mile away from my apartment when that happens, because it's the rock and roll marathon, the Brooklyn one, is the half marathon, excuse me, it's actually next weekend when we're taping this, and I have three people staying with me that are running in it.
Then how are you not running it?
I don't run. I mean, never.
See, people like us don't understand that. We're just like, but I mean, just run it anyway.
I know. I'm crazy. I'm crazy on my bike, though. I can go on my bike anywhere. I've done century rides, 100 miles on my bike, and then, like, you know, got hopped off the bike and then went out to dinner. I'm totally fine. I don't know what it is. I think for me, it's more meditative cycling, being on wheels.
Yeah. It's all about finding your jam.
So Kristen, obviously running is your jam. So tell me, like, why you love running so much, and what's your favorite race or your least favorite race? What do you want to talk about?
Okay. So like Jen, I did not have a great experience with running when I was younger. It was basically always used as a punishment. So like in basketball, if you did something wrong, then you had to run lines. In volleyball, you miss a serve, you run laps. And I hated it. And the only time I had ever run, like, any consecutive distance was, even though I was a pretty big athlete, ran 2 miles in order to make the varsity basketball team, because you had to do that in under, I don't know, like 18 minutes or something, which is not slow, but it's not like crazy fast. And I had to work up to doing that. But yeah, it hurt, and I'm asthmatic, so it was hard to breathe, and I was just like, this is stupid. Who does this? And then it turns out me. the first race I ever did was actually a half marathon, because I don't know, go big or go home, I guess.
Right.
And it was pretty terrible. I didn't know what I was doing, and I swore I would never do it again. And now I've done like 7 of them, and most of them have been pretty fun. I've had a couple. I had one other that was pretty awful. I did Miami several years after that, and I trained really hard, and I had really strong goals, and I felt great about it. Like, my nutrition plan was on point. I had done the proper training. Everything was in line, and then it ended up being much hotter than I anticipated on the morning of the race, and it was humid, and by mile 6, I was like borderline heat exhaustion, and I just fell apart. I've also had
when
really
you
good
ate
races.
Ice chips out of your bra? I remember that post.
Oh no, that was a tryout.
Oh my god, ice chips in the bra?
yeah, that was Ledman. That was my first my first long course triathlon. So it included, it wasn't a half marathon, but it was like overall the distance was pretty close to doing a half Ironman, but it was like a longer bike, slightly shorter trail run. And I got out. It was in Arizona. I did it with Susan Lakey, who is one of my favorite people. If you guys don't read her on our site or follow her on Twitter, do that now. She's
awesome.
Super fun. But yeah, she convinced me to do it, and it ended up being this kind of hellacious trail run. I've never dropped so many F-bombs in my life, and that's saying something for those of you who have been around me. And there were just longer stretches between water than I expected. So when I finally got to a point where there was ice, I dumped a bunch of it in my bra and so I could eat it out of there as I ran because I was so thirsty and hot.
I got to remember that trick next time I go on a long bike ride and I run out of water.
Like MVP MacGyver. Like, just stick them in there. They'll keep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it was disgusting. It was completely disgusting. But whatever, I finished and it was great. And, you know, that was fine. But yeah, I love the feeling of accomplishment at the end. I love the community it builds. Like when I moved last year, I moved to a new city. I knew very few people and I immediately joined the track club. And just started going to some of the different, like, weekly runs. And I guess here's where I should give a shout-out. What up, Minnesota Track Club? I love you guys. But immediately, I just made friends super fast. And I'm pretty damn awkward, you guys. The fact that running could make that many friends for me that quickly says something.
And
so,
like-minded friends, you know, friends that, like, you can talk about running with all the time. And they're like, okay, let's talk about running some more.
Right, and some of them are super fast. Like, we had some pals who just qualified for Boston and just ran some, like, killer marathons. I am not fast. I mean, I'm faster than some people are. I am slower than a lot of other people are, and I'm a run walker. And it doesn't matter. Like, you're all just out there doing the same thing. You might not end at the same time, but everybody's getting props for showing up and putting in the work. And I will say that if you fall into a running group where – you know, that's not the case, then maybe it's not the right running group, because I love our people. Like, I show up for a track workout with people who will lap me over and over, and at the end, we're still high-fiving each other just as if we had run side-by-side.
You know, this is so funny you mention that, because a few years ago, there was a flap with a magazine where they basically made fun of people wearing tutus when they run, and it was just somebody kind of being snarky, and we won't mention the magazine because they've changed, but a friend of mine was like, all of a sudden, the running community really kind of piled on. Like, no, 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 no. Everybody that's a runner is accepted.
Yeah.
It's a solo sport, but they all look out for each other, and everybody's cool, and everyone's okay. And I do like that. It's the same thing with cycling. Like, cyclists are a little more, they're kind of assholes. They're a little more competitive.
That's been my experience as well. Not across the board, but yeah.
But you meet the cool ones. But you do meet your cool ones, too, and it's a fun thing together. It's so funny. Like, on the one hand, it's solitary, but the other hand, you find other people to combine with, and you have this shared interest. So I guess that would be like, what's your tip for a beginner? Is like, look for, you know, a running club, a really good running club.
Yeah.
Totally.
And you know, thing, like, yeah, like, don't be intimidated by, because I think sometimes, like, when you see people that are, like, really, really fast, and, like, really, really good at a workout, maybe we're going to leave cyclists out of this. I don't know. We're going to stereotype cyclists at this point. I'm sorry, cyclists.
Oh, go for it. They can take it.
Well, especially for runners, like, I know myself have kind of been intimidated by people who are, like, really, really fast. Like, I don't want to run anywhere close to you because, oh, my God, like, you're so fast. There's no way I can keep up. And, that's clearly my own issue. But, like, what Kristen's saying, and it's so true. Everyone's just like, do it together. It's okay. Like, and they'll be so encouraging. I remember meeting some of the Brooks Running beasts. Like,
oh, man.
And they're so wicked fast, and it's cool to just kind of, like, be around them, like, in their aura and be like, maybe some of their quickness will rub off on me. But, yeah, don't be intimidated. Go out and,
yeah. Run. Well, and, you know, and the other thing that I might recommend is, you know, as you're looking at these groups, if you're really looking for the social aspect as well, you know, which, and that was important to me, and maybe you're looking for a group that's not super serious and isn't going to be like, oh, well, if you can't finish and, you know, if your half marathon is over 2 hours, get out. Some of the groups that tend to do, like, pub runs or, you know, runs that end, you know, somewhere where there's, like, a food or a drink aspect at the end, that can be, you know, maybe it's coffee, maybe it's beer. Like, I've had a lot of luck finding great friends in kind of the, you know, the run and grab a beer type of groups, just because they seem to, you know, if you both
like
all, yeah, and if you like all of those things, you probably maybe have other things in common. So, yeah. But you know, I mean, that's obviously like the beer suggestion is for people who are over 21 and enjoy alcohol responsibly. I don't know. Do I have to ask our lawyers if I have to say something? Like that?
I think you can run drunk. I don't think it's against the law, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite – so fall is coming up. I mean, I'm so sad. It's going to be daylight savings pretty soon. It's going to be pitch black at like 4:30 p.m., at least where I live. So, you know, what kind of running gear do you have for fall? Do you – like, do you have lights on your jacket or on your hat? Like, you know, what do you use for running gear in the fall?
I'm kind of lucky in that I can usually run or be outside during lunch, during the noon hour in the early afternoon, so I don't have to worry about that. But if I am out at night – We are an ambassador for Brooks Running, so we get to try a lot of their apparel and meet with a lot of their tech team and stuff that develop things. And they have some really cool jackets and just reflective gear, their night gear, that doesn't just have reflectivity on it, but it's actually put in, like, key points of the body. I find this, like, completely fascinating. I'm such a dork. So they did these studies that were like, okay, if you wear, you know, an outfit with just reflectivity on it, yeah, someone driving in a car will recognize there's something there, but they can't recognize what that thing is. They might think that thing is, like, a cone, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. And so they don't know how to, you don't know how to react if you're driving a car. You're trying to maneuver around it because you're not sure how it's moving. But this technology where like where they put these reflectivity points on this clothing, it is the key points where like your joints move when you're running. So when it's just enough that if you're from far away in the dark, you can see those points and be like, oh, that's a person running. Cause you kind of see like a little bit of the outline of the person.
Oh my God, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you see like their demonstrations, Brooks Running shows the demonstrations of like the black with the points and you're like, oh yeah, it's a person running. It's not a cone. So, I mean, I try to wear my night gear when I can, when I'm out. But yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I like the daylight.
Good for you. All right. So guys, what do you think? Headphones in or no when you're running?
Depends on the run. So yeah. If I'm by myself and I'm doing usually a longer run on the road, then yeah, headphones in. I like my music, and I especially love finding a few songs that give me that hit like right on the cadence that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know, like Spotify has like you can set up a running, like you can choose a running playlist, and you can set it to the BPM to match the cadence that you want to
yes.
do.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's the coolest freaking thing. And I think Rock My Run was one that I tried out a while ago that also did it. So you don't have to do all the research and like create your own playlist on your own if you don't want to. But so I'm a big fan of that. But if I'm running trails or if I'm running with people who might want to talk to me, not that I can talk because I can never breathe, but you know, I try to be, I can listen. I'm a you guys never met such a good listener as me running. I am very good at it. But yeah, I like to be social when I, you know, when I'm around other people running. So no headphones then.
Okay, awesome. Well, this is all great information for me. You're inspiring me to at least give a little 5K a try maybe one day.
Yes.
So maybe, I know. I got to do this. Okay. Well, let's get right into the interview then. What do you say, guys? Let's get right into the interview with Jessie.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. And today's special guest is women's running editor-in-chief, Jessie Seabor. Hi, Jessie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So Jessie is a lifelong bookworm who started running in high school when she realized that years of poring through the library books had not lent her the kind of coordination necessary to practice other team sports. So luckily, she fell madly in love with running. And she's run through the mountains of Peru in the frigid Czech winters, and Times Square at rush hour, which is crazy, that she's never been anywhere more inspiring than women's running, which is, I just said, she's the editor-in-chief. And as editor-in-chief, she loves sharing her excitement for the sport with women everywhere. Jessie provides editorial direction for Women's Running blog and contributes her weekly ramblings to the Editor's Corner feature. You can follow her at Jessie Seabor, S-E-B-O-R. Jessie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a great question.
Oh, thank you. And so on the line today, we have Jen.
Hey.
And we have Kristen.
Hi, everybody.
So, Jessie, it's going to be crazy, you know, running season's going on right now, and it's going to be like that for the next few months. So my question for you, this is Margo, what is your running prep for a half versus a full marathon versus those shorter runs that you do? Do you have different prep for each?
Well, I think that the biggest difference when you're looking at, you know, the difference between preparing for a 5K, 10K, half, or marathon is how long your long runs are. So if you're doing a half marathon, then you want to get those long runs up to, I would say, at least 10 miles. And if you're doing a full, then you're going to give yourself a little bit more time, maybe an extra 5 weeks, so that you can get your weekly long run up closer to 20 miles.
So this is Jen. Hi. I'm wondering, you know, we have readers who have, like, all different backgrounds in running, you know, mm-hmm. like jog a little bit to run marathons and, you know, all, like, the whole gamut. Are there any mistakes that you regularly see new runners make?
Yeah. So our
what are they?
Women's running readers really run the gamut as well, between those who are just taking their first step to, you know, the crazy people are running marathons every month. And I would say the biggest mistake new runners can make is trying to do too much too soon, that you try to go too fast, too far, and then number one, you get burnt out. Number two, you get you're disappointed in your performance. And number three, that can introduce injury. So what I would really recommend is any runner starting out, start with a run walk program so that, you know, you're trying to do maybe a minute of running with 2 minutes of walking and build up your strength and endurance from there, and not to get discouraged because your body will adapt really quickly.
That is really excellent advice, and that comes from someone, for me, like, I've been running for a long time, but mm-hmm. for a few different reasons, I'm a devoted Galloway-er. I love the run.
Oh,
walk.
Yeah.
I feel like I can just go forever.
Yeah.
So kind of along those lines, let's say someone is listening to you and they read your bio and they feel all kinds of inspired and they want to sign up for their first long distance race. So maybe it's a half, maybe it's a full, maybe it's an ultra, who knows? Now, do you think it's important for someone to find, like, a customized training plan where maybe they're working specifically with a coach versus a more general, you know, 12 or 16 week online training plan? Or if you think that the online plans are okay, I wonder if you have any specific resources that you would really recommend people look at.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, the more help that you can get is always preferable, right? But sometimes that's not realistic. You know, if you're signing up for your first half marathon, say, and you don't feel ready to invest in a coach yet, then I think that trying an online training plan is totally fine. We have some great ones on Women's Running. We have a couch to half marathon program, actually, that really takes you from being able to run 1 or 2 miles all the way up to 13-point runs. So really, you know, looking at if you have no experience, then that's a great plan to follow. I would say if you're going to use an online training plan, just try to find, you know, if you have a friend who runs, or you could stop by your local running store and just bounce it off of someone who has a little bit more experience. And then you can ask them questions that might crop up, you know, is it okay if I skip my 5 mile run on Tuesday, you know, can I do it Thursday or something like that? Those little questions, you don't necessarily have to have a coach, but a resource is always great.
So my question to you is, when you were learning how to run and you were just developing this passion for the sport, did you have any running icons that you looked up to? You know, you read those magazines and read about them. Were there any that you looked up to, and who were they?
Yeah, so when I started running, I was in high school and I really knew nothing about the sport. But as I started to get more into it, I, especially as, you know, a high school and college runner, I loved Kara Goucher. And it was funny, I remember I was living in New York at the time and she was going to just be at a running store and I was so excited. I went there, stood in the back, and we went for a little shakeout run after. And I remember being like 10 feet away from her running and thinking it was just the most incredible thing ever. And now, of course, as an editor, you know, I've interviewed her many times and have, you know, spent time together. So it seems silly that I was like just completely starstruck just being 10 feet away from someone else. But I think that she's a really incredible athlete and someone who's able to connect with people really well. But I get inspired by just about anyone. So I love even this summer watching Allison Felix and Shalane Flanagan and Desiree Davila and Amy Hastings. They're all incredible athletes.
Yeah, we're like huge Olympics people here. We're like, yeah, constantly talking about how inspiring the Olympics are. And I met Kara Gautreaux years ago, but she's such a sweetheart. Like,
yeah,
she really is. So yeah, she's cool. And she's obviously a badass, which is super inspiring. So obviously that was a memorable run for you. Do you have any other, runs that you look back on? You're just like, man, that was like the most incredible run I've ever had.
Well, I started getting really into trail running a couple of years ago. I don't know if you guys do that, but I was actually traveling in Alaska, and I normally, when I do my runs just on, the roads or the sidewalk or whatever, I always have music or podcasts to listen to. And I was in Alaska and I was doing this trail run, and it was so beautiful. Like, every turn was this incredible vista or, bubbling waterfall. And I just took my headphones out, and I was planning on going for like 4 miles, and I just ran and ran and ran. And I remember finally at mile 4, I was like, man, I really should turn around. It's going to get dark. And I was like, it's just a little bit further. So I went around the next corner, and there were these two giant porcupines like feeding in the middle of the trail. And,
wow.
And at first I was taking a video of them because, I wanted to post it on Instagram or whatever. And, and they were just so cute. And then they started walking towards me, and I got really scared.
don't stick me.
I was like, I don't remember if they're dangerous or not, but that was really memorable to me because it was just sort of illustrative of the beauty and excitement you can find on the trails.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love trail running, and I am wicked jealous of what you just described. That sounds amazing. A while back, you wrote this really beautiful, raw, personal piece on your Editor's Corner column about your struggle with disordered eating as a teenager and kind of how that related to running. And I thought that was really brave and beautiful, and I know that it's helped a lot of your readers, like, there's no doubt. Do you have any advice that you'd offer maybe to new runners or maybe to the family and friends of new runners on kind of things to look for or how to tell the difference between someone who's just really serious about running and nutrition versus someone who's slipping into some serious disordered eating?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is incredibly unfortunate, but it's very common for especially young women to deal with disordered eating. And I think that, there's an educational piece to that. I definitely thought when I was younger that, eating less would make me faster. And that's just not true at all. Actually, I worked with a therapist nutritionist at the time. And when I was able to gain a bit of weight and be eating more, I performed much, much better. In track and cross country. And so I think that, I think that it's just really important always to recognize food as something that will fuel your body and your performance. And I mean, disordered eating is its own thing, and it's much more of a mental issue than it is a physical or a reasonable one. I know that when I was struggling with disordered eating, it wasn't a matter. I wished that I could like shut that part of my brain off that was obsessed with food and weight loss, and I just couldn't. And for me, like, therapy helped much than like practical advice. But at the same time, I think that for any runner, like, it's super important just to see food as fuel for your performance and not something that has any negative associations.
Well, kind of touching on the therapy, and I find working out to be therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
And whenever I've had a problem with vertigo or I've had a problem with an injury, with a hip injury, and I couldn't work out, I found it really tough to struggle with that, to being inactive and allow myself to heal. And have you ever been through that? And what's your advice for people who are dealing with that? Especially it's running season right now, people who can't run in the marathons and stuff. Like, what's your advice to them?
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, I think that it's hard for other people to understand how much we really invest in ourselves, like emotionally, mentally, and physically in running. And when you can't do that, it touches on all of those aspects of your life. I remember I had a pretty serious knee injury a couple of years ago and couldn't run for about 6 or 8 months. And I remember, like, it's embarrassing to think about, but I remember crying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend at the time was like, are you okay? It's not normal to be this upset because you can't run 5 miles. And I think that for me, I don't know, everybody's different. What really helped me was just finding another outlet to work out so that I could get those endorphins. Hot yoga actually was really helpful for me at the time because it's really therapeutic, but you also are sweating and so you feel like you're working really hard. You other people might gravitate towards cycling or aqua jogging or something like that. But I think that finding a replacement for, you know, to get that workout in is so helpful and will make coming back to running when you're able to that much easier too.
Yeah. So what about for when, now we're kind of talking about like some of the mental side of things, for when your body is fine and you are training or you're going for a run or you're working towards a goal and everything, so your body feels fine. Like, you're not hurting, you're okay, you're good there. But your mind is just like, what are you doing this for? Like, why are you still running? Do you have any, like, mental tips or tricks for sticking with it when everything is okay in your body?
I think that the best advice I have there is just to find a workout friend or a running buddy so that you can sort of suffer together. And I find that if you have a race, try to recruit someone or find someone, you know, online who's doing the same thing and then try to schedule some of your workouts or your runs together. So having someone else there, for me anyway, really turns off that part of my brain that says, why am I doing this? Because you have someone else there with you who's doing it too. And you guys can kind of like complain together, but also be working towards the goal together. I think that, you know, for me, that's really helpful.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about nutrition for a minute. Do you have... we talk, you know, people are always talking about like what they take on the run and all of that. But what I really want to know is, do you have a go-to meal that you prep for like before a long run or a long race? Mm. And if so, when do you eat it? Because I am hearing a lot of things from a lot of people saying anything between like dinner 2 days before to dinner the night before. And I mean, honestly, everything in between there. And I'd love to get your take.
Right. So, sorry, you mean talking about dinner, not breakfast, like the morning of?
Correct. Yeah. Like if you're going to do like a big meal to kind of, you know, give, you know, if we're doing carb loading, but not, I don't want to say that because I don't know if that's your jam.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, not like just topping off the tank before you go, but what your really good big prep meal is.
Yeah. So the most recent research shows that quote-unquote carb loading is effective, but basically what you should do is try to take some of the carbs out of your diet about like 2 weeks before and then add them back in plus a little bit more than you would normally be eating in the week leading up. So the difference one dinner is going to make is pretty minimal, if anything at all. What my best advice is when it comes to your meal preparation in the days leading up to a big race is just to go with something that you know is not going to cause a problem because, you know.
I'm smiling and nodding.
Yeah. As someone who went out for a 5-course Indian meal at 10 p.m. the night before a marathon, I can tell you that, you know, you don't think of it at the time, but you want to really gravitate towards food that is not spicy, has never upset you before, and that you have tried before a long run and has worked out for you the next day. So I am much more than, you know, trying to find something that'll give you a boost. I am of the mindset that you should be like conflict avoidant when it comes to meal preparation.
I like that. That's a conflict avoidant. I like that very much. Do you cross train? I mean, you obviously you love running. Do you do anything else to keep in shape so you don't avoid those kind of over injuries, you know, overuse injuries?
Yeah, I really like to do, I really like yoga, and I try to do as much like strength training work as possible just to keep everything in working order, because even if you, when I've been running a lot, you know, really high mileage, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're strong or that your body is balanced. So adding that stuff in, it doesn't have to be a big deal. I will do maybe, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, just a little strength circuit, 20 minutes. And I noticed a big benefit for me, and it's something that we really recommend to our readers as well.
Let's talk about running gear. There is like so much that you can carry with you.
Yeah.
Or some people have very different thoughts on what are essentials and what are not essentials. What do you consider to be running gear essentials?
The two essentials, shoes and sports bra. Aside from that, like anything goes. I think that you should carry anything that, you know, makes your run more fun or more enjoyable or more comfortable. But I think that in terms of must-haves, a pair of shoes that keeps your feet super happy and a sports bra that does the same thing, then you're good to go.
Yeah, minimalist. Do you run those?
Well,
run
I mean,
with,
obviously,
like, you run with a tracker and GPS. Yeah. Do you run with, like, a tracker and a hydration belt or, like, any of that kind of stuff?
For me, I'm pretty minimalist. I even, like, you know, we test out a bunch of gadgets, but I run with my phone to track my runs, and I prefer a handheld bottle to a hydration belt. Just personally, it's easier for me to carry, but, you know, everyone's different. I will say that I think that it is really crucial that, you know, if you're doing a run that's over an hour, over 70 minutes, that you carry water with you. That's another mistake we see a lot. Dehydration can really negatively impact performance, and it's so easy to offset that.
Yeah. Another big mistake that I know we see a lot of with our readers, total lack of post-run recovery. And I will admit to being guilty of that too. So I'm wondering, what does ideal post-run recovery look like to you in terms of both self-care and nutrition?
Yeah. So I think it is so easy to ignore post-run recovery. I definitely do it too, because at the end of the run, you think, oh, my work is done.
Right.
I did the thing. So, you know, I don't have to think about running or anything else anymore. What I think the biggest thing is just refueling your body. So I really like to do a shake with some protein in it, because you're getting hydration, you're getting carbs, and you're getting protein. And I personally have a sensitive stomach. A lot of people do after a run, and it's really easy to digest. And getting that fuel and those nutrients back into your body definitely makes a difference the next day. And, you know, if you can do some light stretching, that's great. Some mobility work, that's always a plus. But I think that the most important thing is getting those nutrients and that hydration back in.
So recently in the news, the past couple of months, there's unfortunately have been a few instances where women have been attacked while they were running. Yeah, I know. It's a scary story. Do you have any advice to our listeners about how they can ensure, you know, better safety for themselves so this doesn't happen to them? I mean, obviously you can't predict every bad thing that could happen to you, but, you know, what is your top advice?
So I think that, number one, I think it's horrible that, you know, women even have to consider this, and this is an obstacle to, you know, fitness and well-being. But number two, I would say that, you know, it is so tragic and just so incredibly awful that these things happen, but it's really important to remember that they are incredibly uncommon. You know, the chances of you being attacked are so, so small that, you know, I just don't, I hate to hear when our readers are running afraid, you know, because the likelihood of that happening is, it shouldn't get in the way of you, you know, doing your thing. But then, you know, of course, it is important to take measures to protect yourself, not just against, you know, attacks, but cars are really the biggest danger for runners. And I would say the best advice there is we all love to run with music or listening to podcasts like this, but to keep one earbud in just so you're aware of your surroundings and you can react really quickly is my best advice. And then, you know, if you can run with a buddy or a friend, that's always a plus. It makes it more fun anyway. But just to try to stay as aware as you can of your surroundings is probably the best way to stay safe.
That's really great advice. And it is, you know, it is disheartening to think, you know, some people may want to go run and then, you know, women are just like, oh, but it doesn't feel safe and I don't have a treadmill or I don't go to a gym, you know, because running is one of those great activities that, you know, if you have a sports bra and a pair of shoes, like that's your barrier of entry. That's it, you know.
Right.
So I'm wondering, you know, you're in women's running, you know, what is, as the editor, like what is your goal? And with, I mean, we at Fit Bottom Girls talk about, you know, all kinds of fitness, so running and all kinds of different workouts. So we have, I feel like, a million different things to pull from all the time. But you are, I mean, your niche, you're into women's running. So how do you keep things fresh, you know, like year after year, season after season?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think when you step back from it and you look at, oh, we talk about running all the time, it feels sort of constrictive, but actually there are a number of things you can think about. Like we always say that our magazine is for people who want to use running as a platform to live their best lives or as a tool to live their best lives. So, you know, we talk about everything from, yes, of course, training for a marathon, but also, you know, skincare if you sweat a lot like I do, or workout clothes or proper nutrition or healthy eating throughout the day. So by focusing on running as a lifestyle rather than just a sport, we're able to always keep it fresh and you never run out of ideas for looking at like how someone can improve their lives and be healthier and happier, I think anyway.
Totally. No, totally.
Jesse, are there any races that you're gearing up for or any that you're just dying to do?
So I am participating in the Rock and Roll Brooklyn Half coming up.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm.
I live in Brooklyn. Sorry. I have friends staying with me that weekend.
Oh.
That's fun. Right.
It's a super, super fun race. I lived in Brooklyn also for a number of years, so it feels like a homecoming for me. And women's running is the official women's publication of the Rock and Roll Marathon series. So it's cool to have that angle too. And then I'm also gearing up for a full marathon the first weekend of December. So those are the two things that are on my schedule right now.
And so I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned podcasts and music, what is your favorite music to listen to? And do you have any favorite podcasts you always just look forward to? Like you get excited when there's a new one in your iTunes or whatever, and you can't wait to download it and run to it. Like what's your favorite music and some of your favorite podcasts?
As far as music goes, I really listen to anything. I'll just usually put on one of my Spotify playlists or Pandora or something like that. I really listen to podcasts probably like 90% of the time when I run. And I'm actually I really love what I do and thinking about running all the time. But when I turn on a podcast and I'm running, I like to think about something else. So I gravitate towards political podcasts, interestingly, maybe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's what I'm into right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's plenty of things in politics to keep you entertained, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep you alert and, yeah, engaged. So I think we'll do our final question here, which is something we ask everyone that's on the show. What is the last song that you listened to before doing this interview?
The last song I listened to before doing this interview. Oh, my gosh. That is going to be a tricky one. Let me think back.
And there's no judgment. You're in a
yeah. There's no oh, judgment-free zone.
I want to answer truthfully. I actually, and this is embarrassing because I'm not even sure how to say the artist's name, but I just started listening on Spotify to Casey Veggies, and I was doing some strides like 2 days ago. And my podcast had ended, and I wanted something sort of like upbeat to do my strides to, and was listening to his music, and like kind of felt like a badass doing my strides. So that's the last one. I can't even name the song, but that's the last artist that comes to mind.
I'm gonna look him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Totally. That sounds great.
Does he sing about vegetables? Does he sing about vegetables? No.
No, I don't.
That would be amazing. No, I'm gonna.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on our podcast. We loved having you on, and it's going to be running season. People are going crazy, and they love this topic. So thank you so much, and good luck with the Brooklyn Marathon and your big marathon coming up in December. And just thanks so much for being on the show. We'd love to have you on again sometime.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.